can save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I am Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Are you looking for a luxury kitchen?
It's a thing we do.
It's cute. Are you looking for a luxury kitchen at an affordable price? Don't go any further than alinecabinets.com. That's A-L-I-N-E, cabinets.com. All right. We are now joined in studio by the commissioner of the Department of Building, I believe. Is that what you call it?
Yes, Department of Buildings, I think it is.
Buildings, plural, more than one?
I think so.
You manage more than one building?
More than one building.
There's more than one or two in Chicago, I think.
Yeah. And that's for the city of Chicago.
Yes.
So we just call you commish, is that?
Yeah, or Jude, Judy, anything's good.
People call you commish.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. That's your title, is it not?
Yeah,
because it's that TV show.
And you worked hard to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Commish.
I think it's okay. Commissioner?
I call you boss.
See?
So I guess it's the same thing.
Yeah. That's all right.
That's cool.
Okay, so I saw your newsletter, and, you know, Rich still gets it down in Florida, too. That's the amazing thing. You go to...
Yes, I got the high wind warning on Tuesday.
Yeah. And it was windy, boy. Oh, yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. That was all of our tarps stayed on, so it was good.
That's awesome.
We nailed them down good enough.
Good. You did a good job.
Yeah. So you had something in there that kind of caught my eye, and I thought, well, we got to get the commissioner back on here and let's find out what's really going on, because I didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. You're going to, on a limited basis now, you're going to allow CPVC piping to be used, and that's basically it's plastic pipe. Well, they can use it in the rest of the country, but they use it for water supplies.
That's right.
And you're going to now allow that. And on what basis and how and why?
So we're doing a pilot program that started in October. It's a 6-month pilot program, and we're studying it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as part of the study, an applicant who wants to try to use it in a rehab of a building built before 2010, up to 4 stories... And it could be any type of use, commercial, industrial, residential, whatever, up to 4 stories as long as it was built before 2010. And they can apply for it. And so some of the factors that we're going to be looking at when they apply for it is, does it really save them that much money? So they have to give us a cost analysis. And then they also have to provide us who the plumbing contractor is going to be, because we want to make sure that it's somebody that's very reputable that we've never had an issue with. Because as we try this out, we don't want to have any bumps in the road. So we look at all that and we make a determination. And we're also working with the water department on that as well to make sure that they're comfortable with it. And we also want to see how many people really want it, you know. And so that's why we're doing the pilot program. And at the end of the 6 months, we'll study it. We'll look at our lessons learned, and then we'll go from there.
Because, you know, working in a bunch of homes around the Chicagoland area, I see it all the time. It's not code anywhere. No one allows the CPVC to be used, but it's sold at all the big box stores. So, you know, people use it because it tends to be cheaper than copper, and it's easier to install than copper. And what's that, Rich?
And I think that's the concern. I think that's part of the concern. You know, like when she's saying with the pilot program where you have to use a reputable firm that they've never had issues with, I think that's important because then you get good data. Because the problem is, all you got to do is cut it and glue it.
Mm-hmm.
So it could turn into a nightmare.
Yeah.
Especially on non-permanented jobs.
Right. Well, and then there's, you know, I think there's going to, you know, strapping it, holding it in place, there's going to be different codes for that because mm-hmm. that stuff's more flexible than copper. So
right, and you got to connect it to the water department's water lines and all that sewer lines. So, you know, there's a lot to study and look at very carefully. You know, Chicago sure. is a more dense city than other jurisdictions, and so we have those challenges as well. So we have a lot of balancing to do. And so right now we're in the first third of the pilot program, so it's too early for me to say which way it's going, mm-hmm. except that we're sure. doing it, and I'm excited about it, and it'll be very interesting to come back to you at the yeah. end of the pilot program and let you know what we learned.
So has anybody applied for it yet?
Oh, yeah, we've had applications
oh,
for
really?
It.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Do you have support for the study from, like, some of the unions?
Oh, we have support for the unions, absolutely, for this study. And they're working with us on it. They're doing training for our inspectors as well as their plumbers as well on how to do it properly. So they've been a fantastic mm-hmm. partner in this. Very, very appreciative of everything
Good.
They've done
Good.
To support us in this. And then also PVC has been expanded. So you were always able to use PVC for drain and so forth, up to 3 stories residential, but we expanded that. So under this pilot program, you can apply for up to 4 stories, the same thing, built before 2010, regardless of use.
Okay.
Or new construction up to 4 stories residential only. So we're studying that as well to expand that.
That would be a huge bonus. I actually have no problem with copper for supply lines. I really am not a big fan of CPVC because of the chemicals that leach into the water, especially when it stands still. But drain, waste, and vent should always be PVC. It's
that's a no-brainer on that one.
Right. That's not so controversial. Yeah. And so I'm very excited about that, and that's going very well. And, I mean, that saves people 15 to 20% on their costs. So if nothing mm-hmm. else, even if we just did that, that's huge to expand that.
Yeah.
And to reduce the cost of construction.
Well,
sorry?
And the problem is, with all the challenges we have with the skilled trades right now, cast iron and copper, and it's just, you know, obviously it takes a little more skill to do all that.
And it's becoming a lost trade of working with the cast iron stuff and doing all that. It's a lot different. So,
well, I don't even think they're doing oakum and lead anymore. Obviously, they're all using the rubber joints.
Yeah, the no-hub stuff.
Right.
Takes talent.
Right.
Yeah, the no-hub.
Right.
Okay. Well, I think that's pretty cool. That's why I wanted to talk to you about that and see if that's if I was reading that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one when I had put that on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, that you were going to be testing it. The comments then after that were from a bunch of electricians. Are they going to allow Romex next?
No Romex, but we do allow flexible conduit. I'm not going that far.
Good. No but extension cords.
No extension cords.
If you look on our
Facebook. That's all I use down here.
Yeah. If you look on our Facebook
unless
page.
Unless it's commercial.
You'll see there's a picture of somebody had a box mounted, and there's screws going through that right into Romex. You know, it just there's uh-huh. nothing to protect the wires at all in the Romex.
Oh, no.
So.
Right. But we did pass.
Actually.
But I'm sorry.
No,
we did pass a new electrical code.
Okay.
A couple months ago.
Yeah.
In September, we passed a major update to the Chicago Electrical Code, which takes full effect in March.
Mm-hmm.
The new electrical code maintains Chicago's traditional requirement for metallic conduit, which is a reason why we have far fewer electrical fires than other jurisdictions or the national average.
Right.
But it brings us closer to national standards in many other areas. For example, for solar panel installations, the code will reduce the cost of adding that. And so also it's more energy efficient, so you don't have to have as many outlets and, well, not as many outlets, but as many lighting fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
So not the outlets, but the lighting fixtures. So, for example, the current Chicago code says that every closet has to have a light fixture in it. So this takes that out.
Okay.
So it reduces energy costs. It makes it more aligned with the energy code. So there's a lot of cost savings with the new electrical code.
Okay.
So that
the new electrical did the new electrical code go to arc faults in all rooms, or is it still just bedrooms?
I have to double check on that, but I think it's – I have to check on that and get back to you.
That's right. Ron will.
Yeah.
He's a licensed electrician. We'll make Ron check.
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
And I have to
– That's okay.
I remember that we discussed it, mm-hmm. and there's cost savings there, but I can't remember the exact details.
And putting arc fault, retrofitting a house with arc fault is really can be a pain in the butt if it's an older home.
Pain in the butt, it's impossible.
It can be done. It's just very expensive. Yeah. So the thing is with arc fault, we've just been doing it automatically. Any new circuits we're adding, mm-hmm. we're just doing it in arc fault, and then that way it's done.
Right.
So that keeps it simple.
Right.
So And something else real quick that I noticed the last inspection, there was like no paper.
Tablets.
There was nothing. There's no clipboard, no paper, no writing this down. Here's your sheet. Here's your sticker. Nothing.
Yeah.
What happened to it? I like paper.
You like paper, but the tablets are nice because you know what happened with paper?
Uh-huh.
The inspectors would have to go back to the office and sit down for hours and transcribe everything from the paper into a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be doing more inspections during that time period.
Yep.
So he came out, he went click, click, click. Is this your email? I said, yeah. And he said, boink. And my phone dinged and I had it in my phone.
Well, how great is that?
It was nice.
Awesome.
We had an insurance guy come out, and same thing with the computer, wrote our check right out there, printed it out, goes, here's your check.
Like, all right, we'll be back with the commissioner right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize that. Pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check him out at MrFloor.com. You can give us a call, 847-475-1590, and you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And you can watch us live right now on Facebook Live if you want to go check us out there. And we've got the...
And if you're enjoying it, share it.
Yes. And we've got the commissioner for the city of Chicago. She's in charge of the building department over there. That little town that's like a little bit south of here?
Department?
Yeah, that little village.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems like a huge undertaking, just to be in charge of all that. How many people do you have in your department?
Well, it fluctuates between 280, 295.
Unbelievable.
And people are complaining there's not enough inspectors.
Yeah, I think it said on our website something like $37 million budget. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is insane. But, you know, I have a tremendous team in place. I mean, I have a great team of deputy commissioners, supervisors, chiefs. I mean, their dedication amazes me every day.
Mm-hmm.
They work really hard. They take their job seriously. It's not easy because, you know, I mean, with construction, anything can go wrong. You hit complications. People are anxious. They need to get done in time. It's a lot of money involved.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of emotion in there a lot often. And so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's...
And you know what? We always stress, what we stress to listeners all the time, too, is that just because it was inspected doesn't mean it is good quality. It means it meets code, which is legally the worst way you're allowed to build.
So you want to be building... You
know, it's the worst case or whatever. You know, it meets code.
Right. I mean, it's...
So, and what I mean by that, though, is don't treat that as quality control. It meets code. It can still be...
Bad.
Yeah, baseboards can be crooked and doors don't, you know, work right and... It's still
well. Doors
so
should work right.
They should, right? But I mean, that's not life and safety, which is what you're concerned with.
Or it's the quality of the materials. They have to be a minimum quality. But you know, if you want a higher quality or more high end, you know, it's a different thing.
That's not your department,
right? We just want to make sure it meets the code and that it's safe.
Correct.
To us, safety is the most important thing. If it's safe, then you're good to go. If it's not, you know, the quality that you thought it would be or the high end material, that's another story.
Right. Yeah, right. you don't.
Well, that's what we try to explain to people. Don't.
Yeah.
Right.
If it's laminate or stone, she doesn't care. Their department, they're not going to care. You have a countertop, and you know the overhangs are correct, and it's got the correct number of outlets. Then off you go.
You're good to go.
That's it. So, something else that's been changing that I noticed too is it takes forever to get a permit in Chicago. I went down there. I walked in. I took my number. I sat down in front of somebody. I talked to him for about 5 minutes, and he handed me a permit and said, see you later. What's going on? Why didn't this take like 6 months?
Well, thank you. That's like the nicest thing I've heard.
Yeah, because I was nervous. I'm like,
in a very odd delivery.
Yeah. At first, I was thinking, oh, he's going to slam me here.
Yeah.
You know, we've done a ton of permit reforms, and we've also done a big culture change of, you know, being very responsive to people, and it's all come together and worked well. And it's a good thing because this year we've already issued 1,100 more permits than in the same time last year. And last year was also a banner year from the year before. So with the high volume, if we hadn't done these permit reforms, I don't know where we would be. Well, and we're always looking to improve. I mean, we're not going to rest on our laurels. Every time a new idea comes, we try it, we check it out. But, yeah, that's it. I'm happy to hear that.
So I went down expecting to spend the full day there. I had cleared my schedule, thinking, okay, I've got to go get this permit. It was for
that's
a bathroom.
The worst, isn't it?
It wasn't like it was a big job. It was just a bathroom job, but we needed to get a permit for it. And so I went down there fully prepared to spend the whole day downtown. And I think I was done and back on my motorcycle heading north in an hour.
That's fantastic. Good.
So I was completely amazed. I had a couple issues to work out, but I went. They said, here, go talk to this guy. I went over there, rang the bell. The guy comes out. He goes, oh, yeah, here. Chum, chum, done. I went back over. It was done. It was finished. And I didn't expect that.
That's honestly great.
I didn't expect it. So now, once more contractors start hearing that, I think that is going to drive more permits because we know it's not going to take 6 months. The homeowners don't want it to take 6 months because they want to get the job done. The contractors don't want to be spending all that time. It's a goofy bathroom. Let's go. You know, it's a kitchen. It's a basement. It's something simple.
It's true. And, you know, the mayor was very adamant that on single-family home projects with plans that people get their permits within 30 days, as long as you don't have a complicated zoning issue with your neighbors and all that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that's been working out really great. We've been doing that all year. People have been getting their permits. And then easy permits like you got just to do a bathroom or a kitchen, those should be done in a day as well. And the whole idea is I think that a lot of people, like you said, didn't pull permits historically because it seemed overwhelming to them. And to me, I want people to pull permits because, you know, what does pulling a permit mean even for a smaller job like that? It means that you're licensed, that you know what you're doing, and that you have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So even with the best contractor under the best circumstances, something can go wrong on a job. You could open up a wall and God only knows what you're going to find. So you want to have insurance. That homeowner wants somebody that's insured, that has some experience. And so that's what it provides, that safety net to the homeowner, to the owner of the building, to know that the person that's doing the work is licensed and insured.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also have been working, and we passed a bad contractor's ordinance back in, what was it, April. And because we
I got
never
a guy
had
from Joliet that liked to apply for that, and he's a bad contractor.
So we did that because we were seeing a lot of shoddy work out there.
No.
And we didn't have
Say
a way.
It so.
We didn't really have a cohesive, comprehensive way of dealing with bad contractors. And so the electrical bureau had a good way. But all the other bureaus had all these different mishmash ways. It was very confusing. So what we did is basically follow the electrical guidelines. Uh-huh. So we give you a warning to clean up your act, and then it gets progressive after that. And so, but to go along with that, we also had to have a process where they couldn't say as a defense, well, you know, I applied for a permit 6 years ago and I don't have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all kind of come together where we want to increase the professionalism of work done in the city, the workmanlike manner in which it's done. And so that's been part of our goal. And I think we're getting there.
I realize that this is a simple question, but maybe a lot of listeners don't know. When do you need a permit? I mean, if Ron comes to my house and replaces an interior door, you know, at what level do you need a permit?
You can do a lot of work in your home without a permit. You know, you can replace your drywall, you can put down flooring, you can put up new cabinets. But as soon as you start to do any electrical or plumbing work, then you can go online, actually, and your electrician can just go online and pull an electrical permit without even coming downtown.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And your plumber
can... What
did
you have to go downtown for?
It was for a bathroom, so it was a full... You know, I came down there.
Where you have a plan.
Yeah, I had a layout and a plan and had to present all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
But say, for example, that you're just replacing, you know, your fixtures, you're putting in new ceiling fans and so forth like that. You're not really changing the structure of your home or anything. You're not doing any interior demolition. You can go online. Your plumber can pull the plumbing permit online, never come downtown, and same with your electrical.
Right.
So there's a ton of work that you can do in your home without ever coming downtown.
You need a service change. They don't need to see that. So we pull that permit, you know, online. And
so if I myself am doing something like replacing a ceiling fan, do I need a permit?
For you, your homeowner to do it yourself, no, as long as you're doing it yourself. But if you're bringing an electrician to do it, then you need to pull a permit.
Anything where you're changing anything, working on anything of the mechanicals, you know, the plumbing, heating,
plumbing, cooling, electric, HVAC. Yeah.
And is there a charge?
There's a charge. I think it's like around $75 to $150, something like that.
It's nominal.
So if I don't have a permit and Ron's in my house... I'm sorry I'm asking the questions that you guys know all these, but listeners might not. So, you know, Ron's in my house and his truck is parked in front and...
The inspector walks in?
Is that what would happen? Like somebody would drive by, see the truck and say, let me see your permit?
Well, that could happen. But, I mean, it's also too for if you wanted to ever have an inspection to make sure that the electrician did the work correctly, you could call us for an inspection and we would come out to make sure it was done correctly. But, again, it's to protect the homeowner. Make sure that the people working on your house are licensed and know what they're doing.
And part of that is to always have the contractor pull the permit, not the homeowner.
Right. Right.
Right.
Because that's when the contractor pulls it, that's when you find out if he's licensed, bonded, insured, whatever, in the city of Chicago. That's your first line of defense.
All right. How much time we got left there, Ben? 3 minutes? Okay. All right. So I've got a great new idea for you.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Can you say yikes?
Yikes.
Because here we go.
We're talking to the commissioner of the building department in the city of Chicago. So that we're joined by Judy Friedland.
Friedland.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Friedland,
close.
Sorry.
Okay.
I almost named you Fry in the newsletter. For whatever reason, I didn't even pick up on the rest of the letters.
That's okay. Maybe that'd be a good idea to shorten my name. I don't know. I have to think about that.
Okay. So you have a program, and I noticed you just recently had a class for self-certifications.
Yes.
And that is for?
Architects.
Okay. So architect can self-certify their plans and submit those to the city.
Are you still doing that?
Yeah, we just had another big self-cert class the other day.
Yeah, it was last month, right?
It was just the end of November, beginning of December, and it was very well attended, and it's a great program, and we're expanding self-cert a little bit more so people can do some more plans being submitted under self-cert.
So you're going to expand it. You're going to expand it to general contractors so we can self-certify our own projects, right?
That's a great idea.
See, now I can self-certify. I can self-certify.
What do you mean, the inspection?
No. The process. You know,
The plans.
I self-certify on my electrical stuff when I go in, right?
But
you
did that when you pulled your permit for the bathroom. You went in and drew your plans
permit. I had to go downtown. I should be able to just go right online, fill it out, have a general contractor's area, just like I do with my electrical. I fill it all out, say that I'm going to do it right. Here's the plumber I'm using. Here's the electrician I'm using. I've got my general contractor's license. Here's my plans. I could submit that all online.
So I think what you're saying is that whatever you had to come downtown for, your easy permit, or that bathroom, you'd like to do that online.
Make it more easy.
Right, because parking downtown, it's a pain in the butt.
Well, they used to have the satellite offices. There was one on 95th, on the south side, because me being far south, I had to go. That was a pain.
Okay, well, I understand what you're saying. So you're just saying that whatever that easy process was that you had to come downtown for, you'd like to do it online.
Sure. I can self-certify my own. I can say I'm going to do it right.
You're already self-certifying your own when you came in and you did your drawings and you pulled the permit. You just want to be able to do that from your computer at home.
Right.
Okay.
All right. We're joined by the commissioner of the Building Department of Chicago. You got a little bit of time left?
Sure.
You stick around? Okay. Because we do have one phone call we got to get to, we've been holding out. So we'll get to that right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
The wires are still hanging, the sheetrock's still bare. And I know that someday there'll be a bathroom right there. The only time it looks finished is when I turn out the light.
I'm missing my remodeler tonight.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com.
And have you forgotten the draws that I paid? That was 3 weeks ago, and I ain't seen you since then.
All right, there we go. And we've got the commissioner in. We're monopolizing her time now. Keeping her around for even a little longer. So the commissioner of the building department's here. If you're just joining us on Facebook Live or just tuning in out there. And Judy
Friedland.
There we go. See, I hesitated there. Judy Friedland, and she's the commissioner of the building department downtown. And I just want to say thanks for... Department of Buildings in the city of Chicago. I want to say thanks for sitting in and joining us on our all-women show over the summer there.
Oh, that was fun.
Awesome.
That was... thanks for spending some time with us. Sure. I think this makes like the third time this year you've been on with us already.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
We might rerun she is a natural. She... show over the holidays, right?
Yeah, I don't know. We got to talk about that, whether we're going to run it... like the Christmas weekend or maybe New Year's weekend, yeah. We're going to rerun that whole show. So that was a good show, and we want to try and do that again also.
Mm-hmm.
So being a woman in that position, especially with what's going on today in the political world, are you having any issues? Is there any changes that are going down, you know, from your department with that?
Well, we always have training in our department. The city has a really good human resources program about training people about proper workplace behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that overall, you know, we do great with that. And, I mean, I'm sure every once in a while you get an outlying situation. But the culture of the building department, like I said, is to be respectful and helpful.
Yeah. And honestly, that's what I was saying during the break. When I went in to pull these permits, I expected a fight, and, you know, I was – tensed up, ready for
grumpy,
a fight.
Grumpy person, didn't want to be there, just give you a hard time, send you on your way, come back on Tuesday.
Right, yeah. And didn't run into any of that.
That's
so
great.
Just wanted to say thanks again for that, too. And then also, let's go to Will online. He's been holding on for a while here.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Hey, Will.
Good morning, people and Commissioner. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm a home inspector, and I kind of specialize in water intrusion and problems with masonry buildings in Chicago. There's, you are aware, no doubt, of this footface block construction that's been going on. And I've done a lot of research in this, and I have postgraduate degrees and things, so I've studied a little bit more. Are they going to continue to build single-wave split block buildings in Chicago? I mean, I can see it for like a strip mall, but for a condo.
Works great for a warehouse, too.
Warehouse, yeah. But residential, right. Or, you know, living space.
Yeah, so before I was at the building department, I was at the law department representing the building department. And, you know, that's when all the split block problems were happening, and condos and the tenants were, I mean, the condo owners and some of the tenants were coming in complaining about water infiltration, and we had to put all these in court, and they're all on these five-year programs to, you know, keep it up. So the lesson learned from that is we didn't change the code to not allow it, but we have a very vigorous inspection program now for when people do use it. And so I think that people are using it less because it's just not worth it. But technically, it's still allowed by code.
Yeah.
Right. I found that if you flash it properly, everything's good, but the parapet wall flashing usually isn't there. This is shown by the fact that of the many buildings I've checked, the ones that have pitched roofs and no parapet walls don't have any problems. Mm. So it's not so much the water coming in from the sides, it's coming in from the top. And that's why, you know, everybody wants the silver bullet to be ceiling, but ceiling won't help it. Ceiling's not going to hurt it, but it'll probably help a little bit, but it's not going to be a be-all, end-all. The other problem, too, is where they put the trusses into pockets in the block, and they grout the pockets. And I've been told by a couple of city inspectors that grouting the pockets is required. But all I've learned is you never have wood in contact with masonry because it'll just wick it.
Right. And, so, and I still see them doing that today. They're still building it that way. I think at a minimum they should be doing that with a pressure-treated lumber. So they have the truss. It sits in there, and it sits in the masonry pocket. At a minimum, that should be pressure treated. It's not. And
or just shim it with some composite shims.
Right. So we end up having to go in, tear these places apart, and resupport them all.
Mm-hmm.
There's one
building that I did for you. I turned you on to. You know, that was.
One of them is 8 years. It's 8 years old, and it's already the ceilings are collapsing because of that.
Plus they don't ventilate the roofs anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't. How do we get past this? I mean, I understand for fire code, it's you know, otherwise, if you frame up a house, you need drywall, you need that fire protection from one building to the next. That's what the masonry building is doing. But we need a better way of actually handling the situation, getting the insulation qualities and getting the water management through these buildings.
I mean, the buildings that were...
Right, and they do go through a much more rigorous inspection now because of the history of it. But, you know, if you'd ever like to come in and talk to my staff about what you've learned about it, and maybe you could teach us, we could also incorporate that into what we're doing as well. I mean, we're always willing to meet with people and learn, and that'd be a great opportunity if you'd like to come in and talk to us.
I would love them. We have the split glass certification program now, too, which is also helpful. I will probably email your office or something and see if we can set up a time for me to come down there. That'd be great.
Okay.
Absolutely. I look forward to that. That'd be fantastic.
Thanks. All right, cool. Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Will.
All right, bye. That's an issue we run into a lot and we have to address a lot. And, I mean, I don't even know how you go about
Ron, you know, we used to take apart the old buildings, the old factory buildings and stuff, and they all had original old growth 2x10 or 2x12 ceiling joists, fire cut, so they had the rake on the back, mm-hmm. and they were mortared into their pockets. So it can't be just the fact that they're mortared in. It's still a water intrusion issue or moisture buildup in the type of wall you're doing.
Right, right.
Because the old ones didn't rot out in 8 years.
Well, and I think, but that's because they weren't insulated, though, either. So it had a place to dry, and nor did they have, you know, there's a period of time there in the late 90s where they were requiring a vapor barrier on there. Yep. So that plastic was actually holding all the moisture in the wall and making things worse. Mm-hmm. So,
you understand what I'm saying? It's not the fact that it's mortared in. It's a fact that it's not ventilated properly. You know what I mean? So it's a little more complex.
Correct. So,
and that's where Will has a degree in physics. Yes. So, I mean, he kind of gets it.
Yeah. So, what are your goals coming up now for next year? What do you guys have planned?
We have a big one.
Yeah?
Big
okay.
one.
Okay.
It's big.
Okay.
We're going to try to update the Chicago Building Code.
No.
Yeah.
When's the last time it was rewritten?
Now I got to say yikes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was last rewritten in 1957, but there have been a lot of updates since then. I don't want you to think that it's been sitting stagnant. Like even, you know, we were just talking about the split block. I mean, we did make some modifications to the code on that in 2007. It's still allowed with some modifications and more vigorous inspections. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of code updates throughout this time, mm-hmm. but not a comprehensive one. And so when I was at the law department, we tried once and there was another try and it just couldn't happen. And I think it's because it was too much of a free for all. Like we had all these different committees and they would just get into one chapter and everybody would just throw it wide open. And so now we're going to try to do a more controlled attempt where in advance we're going through chapter by chapter as the building department mm-hmm. and trying to determine which part of the code is obsolete should go. Which we really like that's unique to Chicago and we should keep, and which maybe we should adopt the International Building Code. And so we'll have an outline chapter by chapter, and then we'll meet with these committees and we'll be focused on what we're looking at and what we're willing to accept right. instead of throwing it wide open so that anybody can say anything, because then you'll never get anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And and so we are going to we already have started this chapter by chapter. The committees should start early next year. And then as we go through it, we'll have a steering committee of different people in the industry to look at it to make sure we're on the right path and not some bizarre tangent so that at the end we will have a cohesive product that everyone's already looked at that we could take to city council.
Are you going to have any focus on energy efficiency or green technologies and trying to implement more of that?
Well, that's the energy code. So the energy code has already been updated. The electrical code's been updated. We're going to do an update to the elevator code soon. And so those are the disciplinary codes around it. This is going to be more actual construction of buildings and fire separations, things like that. So it's not going to be energy or elevator, electrical, plumbing. It's the actual building.
The structure. Yeah, which,
the structure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and even the technology has changed so much, it's hard to keep up.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just don't build them like we used to. They're built better, but in a completely different manner.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. Well, I appreciate your time again and coming in, and we'll bug you some more if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. I love it.
The city of Chicago is lucky to have her. I mean, it's really amazing the ability to just get it out there and do it in such a great manner. So appreciate your hard work.
Well, thank you. And thanks for helping us get the message out about this PVC pilot program, especially mm-hmm. the PVC. Like you said, the CPVC is like a little bit more experimental.
Right.
But the PVC, come in, apply. Let's see how that works and see what we could do to save people money.
Yeah. And the Romex one?
No.
Dead.
Good.
I'm sorry.
I will back you 100% on no Romex.
Good.
Now you just got to get it out of all the big box stores. Because
I know you can't sell spray paint in the city of Chicago. Why do you allow them to sell
Romex?
That's a good point.
Well, Upanor and PEX and that. All the other stuff.
Yeah. So I mean that's the kind of stuff that just irritates us when we go into a house. You know it's not supposed to be used, but then you walk into the big box stores and there it is. And, what's the homeowner going to do?
What's the homeowner going to grab?
They're going to grab the easy one.
Exactly.
Right.
So.
Good point.
So, just saying. All right. Commissioner Judy Friedland?
Friedland.
Friedland. I'll get it one of these days.
It's all right.
And I appreciate your time, as always.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
You're listening to
Mighty House. This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. With that, I didn't notice that the Facebook Live wasn't scrolling anymore, so why don't we... Let's see if we can catch up on that stuff.
There. I did make a note to people on there saying, sorry, we kind of froze. It happens after a while,
so... Where are we? No, we're still not going. Where'd it go? Is that going to do it? Hey, there we go. Okay. So something else. We were talking about hangers there during the last break. You can dowse with two hangers.
I don't know what that means.
That's where you find, take the hangers, and then you go around and you're trying to find water.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you
thank
can do
you.
That.
Divining rods.
Divining rods, yes.
Hangers.
Okay. And then chemicals are bad for plumbing, especially old iron pipe. Distilled water is expensive to use. A whole house reverse osmosis water conditioner is a better choice. That's from Dawn. And then she also said, how come we never see Rich? Is he like the mystery man? He's like our code god that talks to us from the background.
Yes.
That's kind of how I explain it,
We don't even see him.
No.
Look, we just see the top of
his head. We see his hat.
Yes, I sat down for a minute.
So he's like this god that talks into us and says, no, the code says this, and you need to build this way.
No. Yeah. You use Romex for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use it to tie my trees up after the hurricane. I put stakes in the ground, and I put Romex around the stake and around the tree, and it holds really well.
Yeah. So, and to answer Dawn's question, we are working on a new program that is going to introduce all three of us on the line. So you'll be able to see all of us talking all the time.
Yikes.
And, John says the rest of the country uses it. Why do you need a study? And that's because that's Chicago. And it does not include PEX.
No, PEX and both CPVC are extremely bad for when you have hot water lines. You turn the water off, it leaches chemicals constantly.
Yep. Our big screen's froze. Okay, there we go. You guys need some hashtags for promotion of your show. Here you go. Whoa, she's got a whole list of them there, doesn't she? I'll put all of those on.
Awesome.
Wow, she's got even see more. There's, wow. Look at that.
Nice. See more.
Thanks, Dawn. I'll have to put all those up next time. What? Nanu, nanu, Master Rich.
Oh, that's so. God, now. Okay, never mind. I get myself in trouble saying that. It's just I know where that comes from. You know what I'm saying, Derek? Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, so you had on Facebook, you also got a couple of questions.
Yes.
I'm going to check Twitter again and see if we got anything there. But
okay. This is from Bulls fan. We don't know why you're a Bulls fan, but hey, or a Bears fan.
Or a Cubs fan.
Bears fan, oh, very difficult these days.
They're still darlings.
Yeah.
My water heater leaks somewhere inside of the outer case. It seems to only happen when the hot water is being used. It leaks into the area where the burner is, but from the outside.
Uh-huh.
The burner isn't. The flame has not gone out, so I assume it's not getting into the burner compartment. Is this possibly a breach somewhere near the top of the tank, or can it be something else? The water heater is only 2 years old, so I'm surprised if it has a crack. Thoughts?
A water heater has a crack in it?
No.
Try it one more time.
My water heater leaks somewhere inside of the outer case.
Okay.
It seems to only happen when the hot water is being used. It leaks into the area where the burner is, but from the outside. The flame has not gone out, so I assume it's not getting into the burner compartment. Is this possibly a breach somewhere near the top of the tank, or can it be something else? The water heater is only 2 years old, so I'm surprised if it has a crack.
Okay.
Thoughts?
That doesn't make sense because it could be a bad fitting or anything like that, but
it would leak all the time,
not just when you're using it. So if it's only doing it under use, it would have to be someplace, not continually under pressure.
All right, I'm gonna jump out of the box here and come from left field. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so it's if it's new, it's higher efficiency, and it might be
sweating.
It correct. So now what happens is the exhaust is going out the old tube that it used to be. But it condenses before it makes it to the chimney, so it's running back down. And the only time if it's randomly leaking, then it may be that sweating issue from condensation from the burners going, because once you turn on the water pressure, the actual pressure in the pipes drop, so it wouldn't leak. It would more likely leak mm-hmm. when everything is off than when something was on. So my guess is it's going to be related to the exhaust pipe. And a backdraft or a condensation issue in the exhaust of the water heater.
So anything to worry about?
I'm going to have to agree with you 100% there, sir. I think that's a fine call.
Now I'm going to jump back in the box.
So anything to be concerned about?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Because if it's backdrafting, you're getting the carbon monoxide in that because, yes, water is a byproduct
of combustion. So what does this person do?
Yeah. So I would depends on where they live. Where are they?
I don't know.
You want to call an HVAC guy or somebody that has or a home inspector that has a CO2 sniffer so that they can come out and test it, make sure that it's not backdrafting and that you've got a proper flow. So a plumber and a heating guy, somebody like that would probably be the way to go.
To check for CO2. Right. Oh, he's listening in Skokie.
No,
Skokie?
So Bulls fan, you got all that, right? I'm typing it as we're doing it, but.
Yeah, this always happens if they got a new furnace where they get a better furnace and they take the flue out of the old masonry chimney and they only have the water heater in there. Well, the water heater doesn't create enough heat to draft properly.
Yep.
So things start to back up and drop back into the water heater. So I would go with that, Ron. I would have to say you're probably correct.
That's going to be the answer. Try the Metro Group. Just look for HVACJedi.com. And
okay, you got Jim, that, Bulls fan?
Jim can come out there and test it for him. So, and then Jeff on
and the, now I'm creeping on Bulls fan on the internet, so I've lost you guys already.
And Jeff on the Twitter, he said it's best that I learn how to say Judy Friedland's name.
Yeah.
Or no more permits.
Friedland.
Yeah.
No, Friedland, don't do that to me. It's Friedland. That's not how it's spelled.
I know. Well, I told you, I made it really simple the other day because I knew her name, so I just typed into the newsletter Judy
right.
Fry.
Oh.
And then I kept looking at it, like, it doesn't look right.
Uh-huh.
So I looked it up, and it was like, oh, damn, it's
yep.
it's Friedland.
Yep, yep, it like, is.
I left all the other letters off.
Excellent. Hey, you know what? It's time for those motorcycle dudes. I wonder if they rode in today. I'm not seeing any
it's
motorcycles.
It's time already?
Yep, it's
this
it.
This 3 hours just went zoom.
Look at that. Yes, she brought in all this food. They're eating out there. They're chowing
no.
down. Oh, yeah. No, there's food all over the place out there.
It's that time of year.
Yeah.
The most wonderful time of the year.
Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. The conversation continues all week long on Facebook and Twitter. The newsletter, if you go to our website, just go to MightyHouse.net. Click on the Contact Us page. You can fill out the form right there. We'll sign you up for the newsletter. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. I want to say thanks to Elliot Richardson from the SBAC, SBACIL.org for more information. And the Commissioner Friedland from the City of Chicago. Did I get it right? See, now that she's not yes. here, I can get it right. And thanks to everybody that called in.
But it's
and
the Department of Buildings.
DOB, yeah, Department of Buildings. For Rich Calgo and Robbie Earhart, I'm Ron Calgill. Keep it square and level.
Until next Saturday.
If you have any questions during the week, you can always post them on Facebook and Twitter. Join us next Saturday for more home infotainment. Mighty House is a square and level media production.
Mighty House. Mighty House.